We've been talking about a number of subjects. Is the force with you? A couple weeks ago we talked about what is the biblical force. We saw and we looked at a number of references talking about the Holy Spirit, that those who have trusted Christ as their Savior have the Holy Spirit in them. The week after that we talked about, will the mummy return? And we said, no, the mummy is not going to return. We learned about that there is faith in Jesus Christ which assures us of heaven. But the Bible also teaches hell and the lake of fire for those who do not know Him. Last week we talked about, is Harry Potter real? I had some comments on this throughout the week and I appreciated those. We talked about angels and demons, that there is a spirit world and there is a battle going on. And yes, Harry Potter is real. What they're talking about, what they're dealing with. Today I'm going to do something just a little different. We're going to finish this series. We're going to talk about Mission Impossible. Now, I remember seeing this series back in the 70s and enjoying that. The later version that most of you, especially if you're a younger person, have seen has to do with Tom Cruise. And Tom is a highly trained agent, and he encounters at the beginning of each of his missions, a time where he has to consider, am I going to do this mission? Is this important enough? Is the earth hanging in the balance enough for me to do my mission so that I can save the world? As you're looking at this, I want you to consider, though, and I'm going to tie this in this way, what is your mission? And is our mission that we have been given as a church 10 times more important than his? And if it is, are we doing it? Let's look at Mr. Cruise as he gets his latest mission. I like these glasses.
Recovery of a stolen item, designated Chimera. You may select any 2 team members, but it is essential that the 3rd team member be Naya Nordorf Hall. She is a civilian and a highly capable professional thief. You have 48 hours to recruit Miss Nordorf Hall and meet me in Seville to receive your assignment. As always, should you or any member of your armed force be caught or killed, the Secretary will disavow all knowledge of your actions. And Mr. Hunt, the next time you go on holiday, please be good enough to let us know where you're going.
This message will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
If I let you know where I'm going, I won't be on holiday.
All right. There he is. He gets his special mission. And it's an assignment that he can't possibly turn down because of the importance to the world and what he has to do. We've been in a series, and we're finishing this series up this week, and I've enjoyed this very much. I think one of the neatest ways to teach some of the truths of God's Word is to use current events. And, you know, Jesus did that all the time. All we're doing is borrowing maybe a more recent, updated version of what he did. And we've been talking about that the last couple of weeks. We're in a series that is entitled Movie Madness. And today we're going to talk about Mission Impossible. Well, for Mr. Cruise, the mission really was impossible. For everything to happen that had happened in this movie, it's totally impossible. But for us, let's talk about, what about the mission that we have been given by the Lord? What we're going to do is we're going to look at that first, but then we're going to look at a story involving Abraham in Genesis chapter 11 and chapter 12. And on your Bibles that are provided for you, that is on page 8. But before we get there, I want to take just a couple minutes and talk about your mission. Now, it's interesting that at the moment you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you understand that you're a sinner, that Christ died for your sins, and that you accept Him as your Savior, that is the beginning. That is not the end. That is where it all starts. And you know what? You are given a mission. And the thing is, you have a choice, just like Tom Cruise, if you're going to actually do this mission or not do this mission. And can I be honest with you? There's way too many believers that are not doing their mission. The mission that Jesus Christ gave to us comes from Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Now, it's a number of places, and we're going to touch on a few of those references this morning. But Mark 16, 15, say this with me, will you? He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." Now, Jesus is actually giving this as the mission. This is not an option. Once you enlist and become a follower of Jesus Christ, this is what He said to do. And really, it's not a negotiable point. It's not like, I just want to do this some of the time, Lord, and I don't want to do it other time. Is that how you're going to treat this mission? Here's what He says. He says, go. He does not say sit. He does not say stay. It is an active part of our Christian walk, to go. It says, into all the world and preach the good news. It says, take this message into all the world, and you are to preach. The idea of the word here is to tell, to share, to let people know the good news. Now, what is the good news, actually? What is the good news that we are supposed to share? Okay, the good news is defined as the gospel, and the gospel is defined in the Bible in one place. One place, 1 Corinthians. It is defined as Christ Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and He arose again. That is the good news. That is the message that we are to carry to what? To some of creation? All of creation. That means here in this area. It also means in the surrounding areas. It also means in other states. It also means in other countries. All creation. Now, let me just say this. That is our mission. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, that's your mission. And through the rest of your life, that is what we are supposed to do. Now, the question is, how well are we doing it? That's our mission. And what's going to be exciting about this as we get into this message here in just a few minutes, we're going to find out who God chooses to use as His agents, if you will. Look at this again. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Now, the good news is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Mark 16, 15. Go and tell everyone. That's our mission. Let me ask you a question. On your outline, as we continue there, is God's mission impossible? When you really think about this, is God's mission really impossible? And I'd like to say this. No, it is not. But if God has chosen to use you and me to accomplish this mission, I think there's some questions that we naturally and normally ask. I'm not sure I can do this. Me? I don't have a lot to offer God. Well, you do. And it's interesting. We're going to look for a few minutes now at really, if you will, the father of the Jews, a man named Abraham. All we're going to do is look at, if you will, his call. We're going to just look at what training, what preparation, what seminary degrees he had, what special training he received at his church. We're going to look at his story. It only takes us 5 or 10 minutes here to do that. And then look at the kind of person that God is really interested in using to accomplish His mission. If you open with me then, we're in Genesis. We're in chapter 11, first book of the Bible. I think it's on page 8 in the Bibles that are provided for you. And We're going to look beginning in verse 27. And just follow along with me as I read about five verses here. This is the account of Terah, verse 27. Now it tells us who Terah is. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his mother Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. The name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren. She had no children. Aren't you glad I'm reading this morning? Isn't this good stuff? Aren't you glad you're in church just hearing these great scriptural truths? Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur, the Chaldeans, to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. Isn't that good stuff? Aren't you just touched? Isn't your soul moved by what I've just read and shared with you? Just great applicational stuff for living the Christian life. My point exactly. Look at the beginnings of Abraham. There's nothing much here. This is an ordinary guy who just kind of comes on the scene. We learn about his father. What do we know about his father? We know almost absolutely nothing about his father. We actually know from another reference that his father was an idolater. In fact, he worshipped idols. That was Abram's father. There's no great tradition of being a spokesman for God or a pastor or a priest. Nothing here that we see. Not much in his background. It's interesting. Let me tell you the truth about Abraham, and let me tell you the truth about each one of us. God chooses Abraham and God chooses us by His grace. And that's all there is to it. There's hardly anything here. Just some account of them taking a trip, moving from one area to another, and somebody dies, and that's it. And yet God chose this man to be the father of the Jews, to send the godly line where Jesus Christ would be born into the world through this line. God's mission is not impossible. Let me tell you why. Because of this. Because God uses ordinary people willing to be used by Him. Great truth. He's going to use anybody who's willing to be used by Him. Willing to serve Him. And I think that's the truth as we look at these five verses and we see this. Now, let me tell you what. This is of great comfort to my soul. He chose a guy named Dave Metzger to use. He chose you in His grace to use you to serve Him. No great criteria here, no great agenda, nothing. This should humble us that He chose to use you and to use you and to use every one of us in this room by His grace. Our attitude should be one of grace and thankfulness. God uses ordinary people. That's what you see here. There's nothing here about Him. All of a sudden, God said, I'm going to use that man or I'm going to use that woman for my glory. And He does it by His grace. Well, what happens from here? Let's go on. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people and your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. All right, He says, go to this land called Ur, and don't bring your family and parents. That's all He said. And then God says some other things. I will make you, Abraham, into a great nation. We see that nation is the Jews. And I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. This is called the Abrahamic covenant. It is a covenant that God made with Abraham. Some of it has been fulfilled. I believe some of it will continue to be fulfilled in a future time. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So with this covenant, there's blessings and there's cursings. And all the people of the earth are blessed through him. One of the ways in which that is fulfilled is that Jesus Christ came through this line. Verse 4. So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. All right, so what's his response? God appears to him and says, I want you to go to this land and just pack up and go. And so he begins that process. Now, notice how old he is. What's his age? 75. Now, folks lived a little longer in those days. But I love using this verse when we talk about folks who are a little older that don't think they have a contribution. You do. God can use you whatever age you are. He's interested in using all of us. Look at verse 5. He took his wife, Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people, and they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. All right, so here we go, just some more trip. He followed the Lord's guiding and direction, which leads me to say on your outline again, God's mission is not impossible, except I skipped a verse. All right. What did Abraham do? I'm so glad you told me that, Cindy. I went right over it. What did Abraham do? We find from Hebrews 11, chapter 8, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, look what he did. He obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. He didn't even know where he was going. And yet he obeyed God. And this is very important as we look at people being willing to be used by the Lord. So, God's mission, now we're ready for it, is not impossible. Because you don't have to be a spiritual giant to be used by him. Some people think, I've got to have all this training and time with the Lord and everything in order to be used by him. Not true. Not true. All he did, and the point of that verse, chapter 11, verse 8, was that he obeyed. He obeyed God. It's interesting. Some people say, well, I'm not sure I know enough about obeying God. Let me tell you this. You already know enough just with the knowledge you have today of what you know you need to be doing for the Lord. You don't need any more. It's tough enough just with the knowledge we have now to obey God with what you know. In your walk with God at this point, you probably have enough to keep you busy for the rest of your life. He wasn't a spiritual giant, folks. Show me the seminary degree here. Show me the intense amount of training that he's had. Now, folks, I am not against seminary. I went there. It was a great experience. But sometimes we get so wrapped up in the training and preparation that we're just not doing anything for God. Obedience is a key thing we see here in the life of Abraham. What he knew to do. In this case, God said, go to that land. I'm not even telling you where I'm going. You just go to the land. And he did it. Be obedient and be faithful. That's all Abraham was. And God used him. Let's finish out the last couple of verses. Abraham traveled through the land, I'm at verse 6, as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. All right, so he travels to another location. Nothing great here, just traveled and built an altar to the Lord. Then verse 8. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord, called on the name of the Lord at that place. It's interesting. The word called in verse 8 means a couple of things in the original language. It means to pray, but it also means to proclaim. It means to talk. It means to share. And so Abraham, from that point, when he built that altar, he began to pray to the Lord, but he also began to share with whoever was near about the Lord and his relationship with the Lord. Abraham's response was to go by faith and trust God, which leads me to say again, God's mission is not impossible, because here's what you have to do. You begin by stepping out in faith and trusting Him. You have to begin by stepping out in faith. Not your parents, not your grandparents. You have to begin by stepping out in faith. God wants to see you taking steps of faith in your walk with Him. You know what, folks? It has always been that way. It will always be that way. God is looking for men and women who are going to step out in faith and trust Him. I've had some people say, well, I don't ever feel like I've been used by the Lord. And I say to them, have you ever done this? Have you ever stepped out in faith for anything in your life? And the people I've talked to said, I don't think I've ever done that. And I said, well, welcome. God wants you to step out in faith and grow. Take steps of obedience and faith in your walk with Him. All right, I wanted to get through that rather quickly. I think there's some great truths from there. But it takes us back again. I want to bring up Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Here again is the Great Commission verse. We've had two of them. Mark 16:15, and then Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is another one. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, this was before the Holy Spirit was given to permanently indwell. That happens in Acts chapter 2. And you will be my witnesses. Now we have in the city, in the country, the surrounding area, and then to the ends of the earth. That is God's mission, said in another way. Said in similar way, but in another way. Acts chapter 1. Verse 8 helps us to be reminded what that mission is. I've been at our church for 2 years. And when I first came to the church, I had a number of questions asked of me. And I spent time with the search committee and with the board. And there were some discussions about just a number of topics, about what we were going to do to fulfill this great commission. And we talked about the problem of barriers in a church, some of the barriers we're not even aware of, and working on taking down those barriers so that we have a church that is open to all people without barriers. And you know what we did last fall? What did we do last fall? We did a campaign to develop this property, part of this area out here, because that is an issue. You may not agree completely, but it is an issue. We need to have a property that looks good. What we have been doing as a board for a couple of months is praying and talking about this, and we're ready to take the next step. Now, what I'm going to do is take about 10 minutes. We're going to go just a little bit longer this morning, but we need to. I'm going to talk about what the next step is in order for us to help, hopefully, fulfill the Great Commission without being a stumbling block to anyone. And that involves our church name. What I'd like to do is hand out for you. I'm going to ask a couple of the men to come forward here, Tom, Rick, and hand these out to everybody in the congregation. We're going to read through this together. This is a process that we are beginning now. There we go. Let's see who else. Bill, why don't you come up here and just, if you would, go down the middle here so we can get these out as quickly as possible. This is entitled A Proposal to Change the Name of Our Church. All right, now hear me out on this. You know, I've been a pastor for 16 years. The previous two ministries, I was the lead associate pastor in both of them. And it was very easy for us to go out into the community and to invite people to come to the church. Part of it had to do with the names of the church. Church of the Open Door, and another church was called Lakeside Church. You know, it's interesting. As your pastor, and I have modeled this and I've shared stories and will continue to do that, one of the things I do is invite people to church. You know what I've never run into until I came to our church? Oh, you're Baptist. And I said, you know, what exactly does that mean? And they'll say, I'm not sure. And I said, you know, I'm not completely sure either. Actually, I do know, folks. There are seven keys, seven fundamental principles that, quote, unquote, a Baptist person believes. Now, how many of you can give me all seven of them? Let me tell you, probably off the top of your head, not many. I can give you all seven. But the point being, they are good statements about God and His Word. There is nothing wrong with these statements. They're good. They're what you stand for if you know the Lord and believe in His Word. The problem is the word Baptist reasons for this proposal. Now, number one, a new name will remove some obstacles we face as we attempt to reach our lost friends. I have given you at least two or three examples of my neighbors who live around me. Now, maybe they don't want to come to church, but I don't think that's completely the case. But I've asked them, and one of them will say, well, you're Baptist and we're Catholic. I said, well, what does that mean that you're Catholic? Well, I'm not sure, but I know I'm not Baptist. And I face that. The word Baptist evokes negative feelings in the mind of many lost people. I want you to shift your thinking, not to save people. Forget save people right now. Go to lost people. Jesus said, give the good news to lost people. Their perceptions may be unfounded, and folks, they are. This is unfortunate. It really is. But their biases exist nonetheless. It can be very difficult to overcome this mindset when we're inviting people to church. A new name can eliminate this barrier, and once people get to know us, we're not so bad. That's not in there. It's much easier to explain to them why we are a Baptist church and what that really means. By the time people come to class 101, which is membership, we explain what a Baptist is, what that word means, and what our affiliation is. We are not a denomination. We are with an affiliation called CBA. It's a great affiliation. In fact, there's a meeting tonight. I'm going to go and some others, and we're going to gather together with a couple of hundred workers and pastors and celebrate what God is doing through the CBA. It's interesting. CBA, why don't they call it Conservative Baptist Association? You know why? They've run into the same problems. So they now call it CBA. All right. We believe that a new name should reflect our area. We believe that believers and non-believers will relate to our new name positively. Now, does this mean that we've already chosen a name? No, it does not. What we have done is we've kicked around some names, but what we wanted to do was come to you now and say, give us some ideas. Let me give you an idea. This was just handed to me this morning. Many of you know Dan Morris. Dan's a great man, been in this church, serves the Lord, loves the Lord. Dan thought about this, prayed about this, and came up with this idea, Mountain View Community Church. Now, we kind of thought, that's a cool name. That's not bad, Mountain View Community Church. Problem is, there's a church in Temecula that's already got that name, and I was handed this by Val, and it's out of their program here, Mountain View Community Church. So we're not going to be able to use that one. But we have some other ideas. But what we want to do, beginning today, and for the rest of this week at least, is be thinking about some names. And what I want you to do is give those names either to me or to board members. All right. A new name, number three, without a denominational label will help us reach religiously mixed couples. There are many married couples where the partners have different religious backgrounds. When they look for a church, they often choose one without a denominational label, believing that church to be more neutral and inclusive. This is the truth. Number four, the Bible encourages us to be culturally sensitive. Culturally sensitive. While maintaining biblical ministry. We are not compromising any biblical ministry here. We are becoming more culturally sensitive in order to what? Reach the lost. That is why we are doing this. The Apostle Paul, now many of you have read this, but I want you to look with me as I read this. This is a practical application of 1 Corinthians 9. To the Jew, I became like a Jew. To win the Jews. There was no compromising the scripture there, but he became like them. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. A lot of law there, isn't there? To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am free from the law. All right. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. Paul says, why do I do what I do? Why do I hang out with these people and do the things they do without compromising the scripture? I do it so I can win people for Jesus Christ. Some of you, this is a great question. Some of you may wonder if renaming our church somehow signals some change in doctrine or affiliation. Read my lips. It does not. It does not do that. We want to assure you it does not. We still belong to the CBA. Let me assure you this. Our doctrinal statement will not change. The Bible is still the foundation upon which we base our faith and practice. Now, Baptist Christians who wish to visit us will find us listed in the yellow pages. And we're there. I just pulled out the most recent one. Under conservative Baptist churches, we're also listed under community churches too. We have both listings. The Lord puts no restrictions on us when we choose a name other than to be faithful to the Word of God. So we are free to choose a new name for our church. Now, a new name will not necessarily make us grow. But a name with too much negative baggage definitely hurts the growth of a church. Here's the bottom line, men and women. If a new name helps us reach a few more lost people, we feel it's worth making the change. We trust you will feel the same. If you have any questions about this issue, feel free to speak with any of the deacons or myself. Any one of us will be glad to walk you through some of the issues concerning this change. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home and pray about this. Then I want you to talk to one of the board members and myself. Let us know how you're doing. We recognize this is a process. We don't just introduce this and then next week we're a different name. No, it doesn't work that way, folks. It's going to take a while to do this. But we feel that in order to reach this community for Christ, this will be helpful in that. Next week, I'm going to have one of the longtime members of this church, John Wanamaker, is going to share his process of going through and being in agreement with this change. In a couple weeks after that, I'm going to have Val Rourke share about her and Rick's experience in trying to reach some of their good friends and running into, unfortunately, the Baptist label. It's not fair, folks, but it's reality. We're going to reach this area for Jesus Christ, and I've shared with you, we're going to do whatever it takes to do that. God help us. Let's pray. Then we're going to have a closing song. Then afterwards, I want you to be in prayer about this during this week. I want you to talk to whatever board member you feel comfortable with. These guys have been praying about this. They've wrestled with it. We prayed, wrestled, prayed again. But we've come to this point. And we feel like in order to reach and make people fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, this is one of the steps we need to take. Praise God. Thank you. Well, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you that we can see that you choose to use people who are humble. Lord, we thank you that you can accomplish more with someone with the right attitude than maybe all the skills in the world. Lord, thank you there's not a man or a woman in this room that can't be used by you, regardless of their age. Thank you, Lord, that you are willing to use us. Lord, I pray for this process involving our name. I pray for wisdom. I pray for sensitive hearts and understanding that we just want to see people come to Jesus Christ. And we know that is your commission to us. Lord, thank you that we can give to you, and we do that with grateful hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.